My dear devotees, I welcome you affectionately for this katha. The title is Krishna Cares Affectionately for His Devotees. I put this together after I read a very, let me say, enigmatic, in German, rätselhaft, statement of Krishna in the Gopal Champu. Krishna there says, I definitely cannot hide the fact that I am now, so to say, in Mathura. But I feel that only my shadow is in Mathura. I myself am playing in Vrindavan because I constantly think of Vrindavan. A simple way to understand the statement is that you really are where your mind is. Think of a person, or think of little Haridev. Haridev is a little boy, he's 11 years old, and he's in the Mayapur Gurukul. And whenever ever examination time comes, at the end of the examination, he hands in his papers, and every time it's the same. The papers are empty. And when he is asked, there were these questions, you said in the examination, but you have not written anything down. Haridev answers, I am where my mind is. And I'm not sitting in the examination, I'm playing football outside. So, my dear devotees, this has a deep implication for our spiritual lives. To be Krishna conscious means that even while you are in the material world, your consciousness is fixed with Krishna and you are becoming Krishna Avesh, that is, Krishna becomes manifested in your thoughts, and that should be so delightful, so pleasing, that as Prabhupada says, a devotee may work in a factory, but he is really different from the ordinary factory workers. So in Krishna consciousness, we are actually in a school of absorption where we want to become more and more mindful of Krishna and increasingly forgetful of Maya. So these Krishna Katas also, what our two presentators presented to us so masterfully, really, is meant to help us to become absorbed in Krishna, so that one day we might also say, my real self, I'm really with Krishna most of the time, and my shadow does a few things. And how this can be reached, or how to attain this process, can be learned from two leelas. One is, and they both involve a mountain. One is about the kings who met Krishna when they were thrown into a prison which was situated inside a mountain. And the second lesson is from the devotees who took shelter under Giriraj Govardhan. And how this is so, we will explore a little bit. So I welcome you. I hope this will give you confidence that Krishna is not a distant god, but he cares for all of his devotees, and I hope you will be absorbed in the spiritual life, so much so that you can see my material life is like a shadow. It is only possible because of my spiritual life, but it is not as substantial as my spiritual life. So, good, we will start. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Words before I start with the presentation in all earnestness, I must confidentially tell you that this particular pastime of Krishna always had some very deep significance for me. It describes kings who were who were imprisoned and were prepared really as a human sacrifice. Don't know if you know, I've studied the Viking history, that is the history of my own tribe, my own, you know, where I come from. Human sacrifices were done in North Europe, and they were done in India, they were done in Mexico. They were done to ensure that special blessings would come from particular deities. And there was one mighty and powerful emperor, his name was Jarasandha, who had captured 20,000 kings. Some say 20,400 kings, and he kept them locked up in an underground prison under the mountain Dronagiri to use them as human sacrifices. So when you were, we can just emphasize with the kings, they were just waiting to be called by a god and then brought out and brought to a sacrificial place and then be beheaded, or I don't know what was the preferred way of offering them. Can you imagine how they felt? Can you imagine how you feel when you are on death row? one person, the people before you who are also sitting there are called, and then another is called, and another is called, and finally you are sitting at the edge, and you will be the next one who is called. It's supreme. Really, it's an anxiety we can't imagine. And it was in this scenario where Krishna made his auspicious appearance right into this dungeon under the earth, this prison. And for me, this has always been a very significant, because I have always, or since a few decades, felt that only if Krishna does something special to deliver me, will I be delivered from the ocean of birth and death, where everyone is sitting on death row, if you so wish. And the way Krishna interacted with these kings, I always felt was a way in which he might interact with me. And the instructions he gave the kings after they were saved, I have always felt are instructions that are extremely relevant for me after I'm, so to say, have become a devotee. And I would like to narrate all this. It's the first time where I treat this Leela, and afterwards want to extract some principles for us devotees by bringing you to another mountain Leela and under another mountain, but that's the blissful Giriraj mountain. Fine, so let us start. Words will always fail to express the feelings of the 20,000 or so kings that had been imprisoned by the cruel ruler Jarasandha in a prison that was lying under the earth. Jarasandha kept his victims there to offer them to Shiva. They were human sacrifices. The situation was very desperate. You might ask, 20,000 kings, that's a lot of kings, isn't it? My dear devotees, at the time of which we are hearing, the time about which we are speaking, India was divided in small little kingdoms. A kingdom didn't have to be as big as Germany or even a section of Germany like Bavaria and so on. These were smaller kingdoms which may have had only 20 villages under them. So such village kings or such kings counted as kings because they ruled those who were dependent on them as representatives of God. When Jarasandha conquered one of these small kingdoms after another, he left the wives of the kings at home. And these wives, seeing no other person able to save their husbands, turned to Lord Krishna and offered prayers to him every day, again and again. They also offered prayers to Krishna to end their own pangs of separation from Krishna. They begged him to make his appearance not only for their husbands, but also for themselves. So somehow The kings managed to send one messenger to Dwaraka. And one day, as Krishna was holding his court in the Sudama assembly hall, news were brought to him that there is someone outside who has an urgent message for you. A message, he says, which cannot wait. Can we bring him in? Now Krishna, being the all-pervading super soul, knew about the misfortune of the kings, but he did not appear so quickly to them for them, because he wanted them to understand one thing. So smilingly, like always, this all-knowing smiling, he asked the messenger of the king to be brought in. When the messenger, who had been with his masters in that under-earth prison, stood before Krishna, at first he could not speak because he was simply overwhelmed by the amazing beauty of Lord Krishna. He could understand that Krishna was dedicated to destroy the miseries of the three worlds. The only question was, how could he convince Krishna to come to the prison and deliver his master? So after some time he found his words, and he described how Yarasandha had gone on a rampage and had conquered all these smaller kingdoms. He said, he's so cruel, this Yarasandha. He wants to become the emperor of the world. He's not believing in you, Krishna. And he wants to make these thousands of human sacrifices to establish his position for power. Please, Krishna, you must help. And Krishna said, after consulting with Uddhava, I will come. But he waited for half a year before he came. Then, sensing that the right moment had come, where the kings were ready to receive his beautiful darshan, Krishna arranged for Arjuna and Bhima to come along, and in his genius way, he instigated that Yarasandha was killed in a duel with Bhima. It is there where he met his death. And then Krishna went out to look for the mountain prison, the Giri Droni fortress. By then, due to their imprisonment, the kings were completely emaciated, they were thirsty, they were dirty. I can imagine that they smelled also, that they were dressed in rags. But Krishna, in his mercy, gave them his darshan because they were ready. And you will see in a moment when they start to speak why they were ready and what needed to happen inside of them so that Krishna would appear. Krishna manifested himself, and there are various descriptions in Shastra. Sometimes it's described like a flame in the darkness, and stood before them with a blooming lotus eyes and a cheerful face. One symptom by which you can recognize Krishna always is that he always smiles. Even at the outside outset of the battle of Kurukshetra, when Krishna brought Arjuna in the middle of the battlefield, he smiled. Arjuna, the great warrior, was ridden with anxieties. He had to face relatives which were determined to send him to the kingdom of death. And he was supposed to fight with them. But Krishna smiled. He's always beyond our stories, so to say, of happiness and distress, and even beyond what the devotees feel. When the kings, you can imagine, they were starved, they didn't get proper food, they didn't get honor, they didn't even get a bath, saw Krishna standing like this before them, with their eyes they started to drink the beauty. With their tongues they seemed to lick him as a hungry person would lick a rasagula. With their nostrils they relished his fragrance, and with their arms they wanted to embrace the Lord. And by this darshan, my dear devotees, this fully absorbed darshan, it is described, they became free from all sins, and the shift in consciousness was brought to a completion. This is what they said to the Lord. Rajana Uchu Namaste Deva Devesha Pravanpanati Hara Vyaya Prapanam Pahina Krishna Nirlinam Gorasam Srite. Please repeat. Obeisances to you, O Lord.
Obeisances to you, O Lord.
O you who rule over all the demigods.
O you who rule over all the demigods.
O destroyer of the distress of your surrendered devotees. We have now surrendered to you, O inexhaustible Krishna.
We have now surrendered to you, O inexhaustible Krishna.
Really, my dear devotees, have you done this? Please save us from this terrible material life.
Please save us from this terrible material life.
Which has made us so despondent. My dear devotees, this is the real attitude. When you are really no longer thinking material life will satisfy you, when you have finally seen through the lie of Maya, then you are ready for Krishna. So Krishna might say, so you want freedom from suffering? Is that what you want? But the king said, no. We don't want any longer material life. Never again will we hanker for a new mobile telephone. Oh, sorry. Never again will we hanker for a mirage-like kingdom. A kingdom for which we must work like slaves and serve with this mortal body. A kingdom that is due to decline. So Krishna might ask, so you wish to have prema? And they say no. But this time they say it very humbly. They say it more like, no. Then what do you want? And then they answer. And this is something we can take with us home. Tanna samadhi shopayam yena te charanabhyayo smriti yatana viramet api samsaratam iha. Please tell us how we may constantly remember your lotus feet, though we continue in the cycle of birth and death. Jiva Goswami writes this very nicely. He takes on the voice of Krishna. Krishna asks, says Jiva, so what do you want from me? With great feeling, they answer, please instruct us in a method that is both understandable and doable so that we can remember your lotus feet. This is humility, my dear devotees. They do not directly ask for prema, but for a clear method by which they can become firm in their practice of Krishna consciousness and in being fixed on the goal. When we turn to Krishna, Krishna is pleased when we have humble requests. Here the kings don't wish to have the highest immediately, but a method that brings them there. And Krishna gives two types of instructions. I think you would like to know them, isn't it?
Yes.
Very practical. He says, as you live out your lives, you are kings, you will create progeny, you will have children. You will encounter happiness and distress. Keep your minds on me. How practical. We all live out our lives. Some of you who are now not married will for sure marry and have children as your life has, your fate has designed. Some of you who are now married will divorce and will have to see how to negotiate that divorce. That is what statistics tell us. People divorce after a certain time. Some of you will perhaps have the fortune of getting a lot of money. Others of us might lose money. We all will live out our life. Some of us will go to the Amazonas and go with a boat to make kirtan with the Amazonas people. There are many things which are still written in our future and which will come to pass. Live them out, says Krishna. Have a normal relationship to this. It is a movie that has to happen in your life, but keep your mind on me. And then Krishna continues. Udasinasya dehada atmara madrita vrata maya vesha mana samyan mamante ramayasyata. Be detached from the body, O king, kings, and everything connected to it. Remain self-satisfied. Steadfastly keep your vows by concentrating your minds fully on me. In this way, you will ultimately attain me, the Supreme Absolute Truth. My dear devotees, where I stay, it's in the apartment of a Grihastha couple. In the bathroom there is a mirror, and on the mirror there is a sign, you are not the body. I think it's when the devotees come and brush their teeth, or make the sick or anything else, they know the body is my vehicle. I'm not the body, I'm using it as my sadhana sharira, my vehicle for spiritual practice. Live your life from the soul, let the soul be your leader. This remain self-satisfied. And then, even in times of temptation, keep your vows while concentrating your minds fully on me. In this way, you will ultimately attain me, the Supreme Absolute Truth. My dear devotees, the positive instruction here is keep your mind on Krishna, and the supportive instruction is what you should avoid, that is overly attachment to the body and what is connected to it, remaining satisfied in the self. I am a part of Krishna, I'm good enough, I'm a part, I'm godly, and being steadfastly in whatever vows you have given yourself in order to move forward. But the main thing is remember Krishna and don't forget him. When Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami, he told him many things, but his last instruction was this. Bhavite bhavite Krishna spuraye antare Krishna kripayakya payarasa sindhu pare. Rupa, when one thinks of Krishna constantly, then love for him manifests within the heart. Even though one may be ignorant from Germany, even though one may be ignorant, by this simple method of thinking of Krishna and then feeling love rise in the heart, one can reach the far away shore of the transcendental love by Lord Krishna's mercy. After Krishna had spoken, he made a signal and immediately many male and female servants came to take care of all these kings. He wanted to respect his devotees. Sahadev, who was the son of, what is his name, Jarasandha, and who was installed by Krishna as the king, gave the kings new cloth, but first they were scrubbed in the bathing tubs by these male and female servants. He gave them new cloth afterwards, jewelry, because they were kings, garlands, and sandalwood. And then Krishna arranged a huge feast for them. They got all the articles befitting kings, I think nougat and marzipan, and so on. And their bodies were shining because Krishna gave them Anna after all the kings represent him on earth. They looked like stars in the sky at the end of the rainy season. Finally, Krishna sent them home. Now, can any one of you imagine what they did when they were on their chariots? I know it's a very difficult question. I give you a hint. Remember the instruction which Krishna gave to the king when they asked him for a safe method to attain him. Not all at once. Sorry?
They sing Hare Krishna.
They sing Hare Krishna. This is Venuja. Yeah. Well, you are very close, actually. Perhaps even they sing Hare Krishna.
They were crying.
I can well imagine that they cried. And I have heard someone of you said they were remembering Krishna. On the way home, they only thought of him. My dear devotees, you have heard so many things, so many nectarian things. Could you please try to remember one or two things and think of that? That will be following Krishna's instruction and following this particular retreat. And there is a very nice meditation on Krishna which might help you to remember Krishna. If you would be so kind to sit properly. Take a few deep breaths in and out. Breathe in, be mindful of your inhale. As you breathe out, stay with a deep and good out breath. We will go back to this moment when Krishna entered the dark cave. Remember, he was standing there, dressed in his characteristic yellowish dhoti. His eyes looked like blooming lotus petals. This is the description what went on in Krishna. As a father sheds tears for his own sons, Krishna shed tears for the kings who were hungry, afflicted with pain, without any luster, wearing old cloth, having withered faces. A moment before Krishna's eyes were wide open with a smile on his face, and then looking upon his devotees, he shed tears. We were encouraged to write our own poems. Here's one. It's in the voice of Krishna. Even if you leave me with anger for 100,000 years, when you finally return, you will feel like a fish who has ventured onto the dry shore, but who comes back into the ocean. When you come to me, you will feel like a spark that has fallen out of the flames, that jumps back into a blazing fire, since it is me who's your final home and fulfillment. Once the lantern of your heart is lit, I become the path that quickly guides you to my house. Shri Krishna ki jai.
Oh, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Hare
Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
My dear devotees, for the end, I would like to continue where, not really continue, but I would like to bring you back where both Keshava Maharaj and our Hariparshad Prabhu have led us to this crying for Krishna. Do you remember this beautiful analogy that we as living beings are considered to be Prakriti, female? Both men and ladies in this world have a mentality to be the enjoyer of Purushas. But both men and ladies in this world are deep inside an energy of the Lord. Prakriti, and Krishna is the only Purusha, the only enjoyer. We are phantom enjoyers. And we heard that when there is a struggle between men and women, the ladies can win always by what method?
Crying.
By crying, yes, yes. So, it will break hard granite. So when the living entity learns this simple method, Prakriti, like living entity, learns this method to feelingly address the Lord, like crying, then the Lord will have to come. And there is a very nice proof of, let us say, incident in the Govardhan Leela, which illustrates this. And I think for the end, I will just talk very, very briefly about it. I think it will give you great joy in your heart. When Indra got news that his yearly yagya had been stopped by Krishna, and the ingredients, milk products and sweets and everything, had been directed by Krishna. He had ordered that they would be used in worshipping a mountain. He was beside himself with fury, uncontrolled rage. And he forgot that he is the servant of the Lord, and sent powerful clouds, which are used at the time of destruction of this universe, to flood Braj. The Vrijabhasis were highly, highly, highly troubled. It was so dark on the paths that they could not find their way to their houses. And it was raining. Soon you could not distinguish between a hill and a lowland any longer. It was one big ocean. What is the mentality of devotees when they are in difficulty? They call out to Krishna. And what is the mentality of Krishna when he sees his devotees are in difficulty?
He helps
He feels something in his heart. He feels, I must protect them. So this is what the devotees called it. And please call out with me. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga.
Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga.
Have to go a little higher here. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga.
Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga.
Vannatam. Gokulam Prabho,
Gokulam Prabho,
Tratam,
Tratam,
Ahasi,
Ahasi,
Devanah,
Devanah,
Kupita,
Kupita,
Bhaktavatsala,
Bhaktavatsala.
All the gopas on gopis addressed the Lord, Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one. Please deliver the cows from Indra's wrath. So they first put on a request for the cows. And then, O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. So Krishna heard this and reacted in a most beautiful way. We have to say this also, but we not in a calling, then we go a little down here. This is Krishna's answer. Tasman mach charanam goshtam.
Tasman mach charanam goshtam.
Manatam mat parigraham.
Manatam mat parigraham.
Gopaye svatma yogena.
Gopaye svatma yogena.
So yang me vrata ahita.
So yang me vrata ahita.
I must protect the cowherd community by my transcendental potency. For I am their shelter. I am their master. And indeed, they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. Me vrata ahitaha. By me, this vow has been taken. So when the Lord had said this, I have taken a vow, they are my own family. For them I am their only shelter and master. I must protect them with my transcendental potency. He ran to Govardhan. By that time, as we heard, it was raining heavenly, but by his pastime potency, what is that pastime potency's name?
Lila Shakti.
Lila Shakti, yes. Not even the top of his turban got wet. What to speak of his shoulders or his garments? It was protected. And he quickly went under the hill, and then he began to lift the hill. At that time there was strong rain. It was raining with thick beams. They were as thick as the legs of the elephant. And for a long time this stream of rain had fallen from the sky, my dear devotees. It was so wet, you have really unpleasantly wet. Well, beyond unpleasant. There were flashes of lightning all around. There was the sound, furious sound, wind. It was apocalyptic, we would say in modern English. But under Giriraj, the situation looked completely different. And this happens when you have found the shelter. Devotees have told me in the Ukraine that there were bomb blasts around the houses and they were chanting away and feeling great happiness in chanting. So, here is the statement from Jiva Goswami. While outside there were great rainstorms, there was the roaring of wind, there were hard hailstones, thunder and dark clouds causing suffering, inside, under the hill, there was no rain, there were very pleasant breezes. People were talking to each other in sweet voices about the beauty of Krishna whom they looked at. And they were singing attractive songs. Some started to dance, others recited auspicious prayers in Sanskrit, and the children played. And Krishna stood there. He was remarkably beautiful. Rays of light emanated from his moon-like face. We heard that. How is this called?
This
Lavanya, yes, like a mother pearl, from whose inside there were rays of soft glowing color or whitish color comes from Krishna, from inside each part of his body, not just the lips or the eyes, but everywhere this Lavanya was coming. Krishna created an exceptional abode of happiness for his own people. And because he's Krishna, he fulfilled many relationships. He looked with humble eyes towards the elderly people. He smiled at his equals. His eyes were filled with tears as he looked at his people. But then he looked with a very crooked glance in the direction of Indra. You rascal! This is Gopal Champu has informed us. The people, just by looking at him, were nourished by the juicy nectar which emanated from his lotus face. You know, it is described in the Bhagavatam that the people in Mathura who had the chance to look at Krishna were not turning old. And those who were lying on their, you know, leaving their body, they were totally happy calling Krishna, Krishna. We have heard this from a good friend who lives in Nandagram, that one of the Brijbasis, when his time came, he left his deathbed on which he was lying already for some time. He climbed the steps of his house. He stood on the roof, you know, flat roof. He turned towards Krishna Balaram Mandir. He offered his humble pranams, and then he climbed down the stairs, went on his bed, and with a smile in his face left his body. That is in style. This is Krishna. He takes such nice care of his devotees. Devotees were giving up their hunger and thirst. They looked at Krishna. No need to eat pizzeria. they felt free from happiness and distress because they felt an extraordinary bliss, and they focused their attention on Krishna. Krishna, on the other hand, focused his entire attention on his devotees. The conclusion of perhaps this three katas is: the Lord has one quality that is coming out or standing out of all other qualities. It is greater than any of his other spiritual qualities, such as his purity, such as his mercy. And this one quality is even superior to his truthfulness. He is prepared to sacrifice his truthfulness for this one quality. Can you imagine which quality of Krishna is sublime for the devotees in the world? Yes, Bhakta Vatsalya. Very, very nice that you have remembered. He is the friend of the devotees. So why do you keep your distance? Give up your distance. Hear more about Krishna. When you chant, don't chant mechanic and distantly your rounds. Sit before your deities or the photos of the deities. And why be so distanced? Why? Isn't the whole point of life to be happy in Krishna consciousness? Krishna is willing to reciprocate. Are you?
Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare
Thank you.
So 1 second.
So Hare Krishna, thank you so very much. I must really say I felt encouraged by your presence to present something about Krishna's pastimes and his nature, how he thinks, how he feels. And please let us take this with us, this simple advice Krishna gave to the kings when they asked him for a safe, doable, feasible method to come to him, and that was to think of him. You can do this in many ways, my dear devotees at home. You can read appropriate literature. Some of us are more audible people, or people who receive their encouragement or inspirations through the ear. There is tapes, or not tapes now, or how do you call this, MP3 recordings, and those who are visual, there are very good classes on the internet. But let this all serve this one reason, that is to remember Krishna. I think some of us have become consumers, that we go to a program and just, oh, it's so nice, so nice, so nice. And then when we go away, then we don't really apply. So this is about remembering Krishna.